T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Danny and Dusty.
All right. My rock smashes your scissors.
No, not these scissors, pal.
What?
This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors that smash the Raptor smithereens.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Hour number two here on Danny and Dusty. No Rusty, no Dusty. It's Will Ortner behind the glass, and in fact, he can cut me off whenever the hell he wants, apparently. Still processing this news.
Well, sorry. Hey, the boss came in and gave me the thumbs up and said I did a good job. I'm just trying to impress out here.
Uh-huh.
It's tough for us part-timers.
Uh-huh.
I'm just trying to get full-time.
Yeah.
One day.
You just got to kill one of us.
Well, see, that's not what I want. I want you to get, like, promoted and go elsewhere.
Ah.
Bigger and better things.
Well, are you saying that there are bigger and better things than 1080 The Fan here?
To me, no. But to someone else, there might be. Look, as someone who grew up in Portland, and this is what, you know, well, Vancouver, but this is what I've been listening to for years, there's not much more big time than 1080 The Fan. But I understand that there are other opportunities. I understand other people have more money, you know, to offer.
It is terrifying to me that you do not know a, like, listening life without Isaac and Souk in your ears.
No, so I do.
Do you?
So my memories, it's not Isaac and Souk. The original show that I remember listening was Primetime with Ian and Souk.
Ah.
So it was Ian Furness.
Yes.
And Rop was doing the Saturday shows, and it was Rop and the Mop.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is what I remember. And then very quickly thereafter, it became Isaac and Souk.
Indeed.
Yeah. And it's been going that way ever since.
I'd say it's been a long time.
It, like, I think sometimes
you do a bar graph of stacking up the length of Danny and Dusty to the length of Primetime. It's
yeah, their length is long.
Yeah, they got a lot of length.
But I'll tell you what. I know sometimes they get annoyed with me, but a lot of my personality does come from that show between the two of them.
You shaped me.
So, like, if you don't like me, it's your fault.
It's true.
You know, like, I didn't care about...
You were a product of their development.
I didn't care about sports gambling at all. And then I heard them talking about it on Rop in the Bank when I was in college. And I was like, let me look into this. Started paying attention. It was like, whoa, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm already watching sports, and I can make or lose money on it. That
emphasis
sounds
like
on the fun.
Lose. Yes.
Yes. You know, why am I trying to get into stuff? Well, Souk always talks about the stuff he got into.
Yeah. That's how this works.
Yeah. This is their fault. I'm a product of their creation.
Okay. Well, speaking of products of creation, a product of creation in the NBA and two longer runs with the Portland Trailblazers and the San Antonio Spurs. LaMarcus Aldridge has decided to hang it up after trying to make one last-ditch comeback after retiring. He has tweeted out, in the words of TB12, you only get one big emotional retirement. He did that before. So on that note, I'm thankful for all the memories, family, and friends I made throughout my career. It was one hell of a ride, and I enjoyed every minute of it. LaMarcus made a push to get back, I want to say about a month ago, 6 weeks ago, somewhere right around there. And I remember I was out on the floor, quite a bit of NBA execs, not just the Blazers, but the visiting team and players. There were older players around. And when the news broke, and I asked a few guys, and all of them to a man, like, LaMarcus, go home, buddy. Like, you got heart issues. Like, this is not for you. And I want to make sure it's correct. I believe LaMarcus has a, what is it, Wolf? I want to say Wolf Parkinson's something.
That sounds right to me. Something scary. That's what I remember.
Yeah, it's Wolf Parkinson. It's a Wolf Parkinson White syndrome. It is a heart issue that LaMarcus has dealt with since his time in Portland. And he had a bit of a scare, I want to say a little bit more than a year ago, that he initially forced the first retirement. He was able to come back from that, get back out for a little bit, and then wanted to play again, but it was like, nah, it's not to be. But the question I have, and I have posted on the Danny and Dusty Twitter account, at Danny and Dusty, number one, is LaMarcus Aldridge on the Trailblazers Mount Rushmore? Is LaMarcus Aldridge one of the four greatest Trailblazers of all time? Number two, is LaMarcus Aldridge a Hall of Famer? Will Ordner?
So here's where I think it's going to be surprising for some people. I think it also is going to truly show my age, because to me, he is a Hall of Famer, because one, everybody in the NBA gets to be in the Hall of Fame. That's just a fact. And then two, I do think he is on the Mount Rushmore, because for me, I don't remember those Clyde Drexler teams. I don't remember those Terry Porter teams. I don't remember Bill Walton. Shoot, I barely remember Zach Randolph, right? I barely remember Darius Miles. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember Rasheed Wallace. So for me, when I think about my Blazer fandom and guys that I watched, I remember the LaMarcus Aldridge, Brandon Roy draft. And yes, I was a little upset that they didn't go with Adam Morrison, which turns out I was way wrong. But LaMarcus Aldridge and Brandon Roy helped turn that team into being something relevant again. You became a playoff team because of them. Now, you know, LaMarcus also was able to hold on all the way through to the Damian Lillard years.
Mm-hmm.
And LaMarcus was the main superstar or star on that team.
You call him a superstar, I think.
That won that first playoff matchup. You know, the first playoff series win.
Everybody remembers Dame's 0.9.
Yes.
What we forget is how unbelievable LaMarcus Aldridge was in game one and game two.
Exactly. He was an amazing player. And the problem is that people like are going to remember him more for the off-the-court stuff, where he was kind of a jerk and he hated the fact that B. Roy was more popular than him. And then Damian Lillard quickly became more popular than him. And then he left and, you know, he just kind of he wasn't what Portland needed. Portland needed him to be more outgoing like Dame was, or to be, you know, someone like Brandon Roy, where he didn't get offended by every little thing. But if you look at him as a pure player and someone who helped build this team to what they are now, he deserves to be on that Mount Rushmore, at least for people my age. If you're a Zoomer, like the first stars that you remember, it's Brandon Roy and LaMarcus mm-hmm. Aldridge. And then it's Damian Lillard, and LaMarcus was a part of both of their careers, and he was clearly a main focal piece.
Brandon Roy is my favorite Trailblazer of all time. I'm on record of saying
same.
Brandon is quite literally my age. We suffer from the same debilitating knee issue. I got basically out of the Air Force like as he kind of came into ascension. That's kind of what brought me back to the Blazers, everything along those lines. There's a lot of personal ties there. But there was also something about him and his game, even though we only got 3 years of it. I mean, when guys like Kobe Bryant and Ron Artest are calling you one of the baddest dudes on the planet, there's something to your game that is tremendous. Having said all of that, I don't have Brandon on my Mount Rushmore because of the limited time.
That's fair.
There's two unequivocal guys on the Mount Rushmore. Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
Clyde Drexler. After that,
mm-hmm.
it's generational. There's things that come into play. Bill Walton, MVP, only title in the franchise's history, but it's only, 4.5 years?
Yeah, he was very, very much a flash in the pan.
Very much like Brandon. Unbelievably great. Very limited amount of time. LaMarcus Aldridge was 9 years, and he played through multiple eras. What's interesting about LaMarcus is, in that 06 draft, who was the higher pick, Brandon or LaMarcus? If you ask somebody who's not from Portland or doesn't follow the NBA closely, they'll tell you Brandon. Brandon was not the higher pick. LaMarcus was the number two pick that year.
I believe they traded up to get him.
The Blazers traded up to get him. They traded Victor Kriappa to move up and get him.
Great decision.
Great decision.
Because I have no idea who Victor is.
It was Victor Kriappa and Tyrus Thomas. That was the
great decision.
Great decision. Worked out fantastic for Portland. What's interesting is the Bulls tried to get LaMarcus Aldridge multiple times over the next 5 years. Next 7 years. Did my math right. Brandon was then obtained by trading the rights to Randy Foy to the Minnesota Timberwolves, who had just a terrible run of drafts. But Brandon was the guy who got Rookie of the Year because LaMarcus is behind Zach Randolph for transitioning out of the Jailblazer years. Everything that kind of comes with that. And Brandon is...
He popped.
Not just that, but was like Dame. It wasn't that... Because Brandon has a learning disability. Like he has struggles reading. Like, so he's not he's not LeBron as far or CJ as far as being well spoken. Mm-hmm. But he had a charisma, a quality about him that was just so enticing and so attractive. LaMarcus just didn't have that. He was very quiet, very humble kid from Texas.
Seemed kind of whiny at times. At least that's what got portrayed in the media.
Yes, but it's not. He's just. I think he's more like a Kawhi.
Or I could just, totally see that.
Just a quiet dude doesn't like. I never heard anything bad about LaMarcus ever. Like bad. Did he not like the attention? Did he maybe get a little miffed by some stuff? Yeah, and here's why I'm actually okay with it, and why. He was the higher draft pick. He was supposed to be the guy. Brandon pops. Okay, what's him and Brandon? Next year, the Blazers win the lottery, and it's no longer Brandon and LaMarcus. It's Brandon, Greg, and LaMarcus.
Yeah.
LaMarcus gets pushed down. Greg gets hurt. Well, okay, you know, it's Brandon and LaMarcus again. Greg comes back. Hey, it's Brandon, Greg, and LaMarcus. Greg gets hurt again. Now it's Brandon and LaMarcus. Randolph gets traded. Greg comes back. It's Brandon, Greg, and LaMarcus. Greg gets hurt finally before he's done. Brandon and LaMarcus. Brandon gets hurt. Finally, it's LaMarcus's team. Finally, LaMarcus gets the billing. And there's nothing else around. But he puts on his helmet and he goes out there and he plays. And he plays and he plays. The Blazers go through the mutinous season with Nate McMillan. They trade away Gerald Wallace and they get the rights to the number 6 overall pick in Damian Lillard. And the same cycle starts all over again. And Damian Lillard wins Rookie of the Year. And it becomes Dame's team. And not because LaMarcus wasn't good enough, but because Neil Olshey comes in and everything that was there previously isn't his. Damian Lillard is his. He can put his thumb down on that and say, that's mine. And he can say, this is my shiny thing. And he lifts that above LaMarcus. And I don't think Dame... neither wanted it nor asked for it. Dame has been on record, and he's talked to me about it. He deferred to LaMarcus. The first year that he was in charge, quote-unquote, he was the leader post-LaMarcus. Like, he didn't know what to do. Am I supposed to break the huddle? Am I supposed to do this? I say all of this to say that LaMarcus did the best that he could. He showed up every day. He was a guy who did not miss games. He was just a grinder, and you could sit there night in, night out, know you were going to get 20 and 10, and he was going to go to work on that left block with that fadeaway over and over and over again. And for all the talk about him being soft and all the talk about him not being this and who not being that, that is the best player Damian Lillard has ever played with. Still, to this day.
Easily the best player. And I'll tell you what, I know this is a generational thing, but as a guy who was tall, who didn't really want to be tall, loved his fadeaway.
Oh,
it was the prettiest, best shot ever that I've seen, like, from a Blazer. And
it's one of the most aesthetically beautiful. No, unquestionably. It's one of the most aesthetically pleasing shots ever.
I loved it. And like, as a guy who didn't want to be big when I played basketball, I did like to play like LaMarcus, because here's this 6'11" gigantic human being. And instead of being like Shaq, where he tried to throw his elbows around, he almost seemed like he wanted to play more like a 6'8" guy, which I do think is why, you know, he also got a lot of that hate too, because you have these stories in the media of, you know, it seemed, I remember, wasn't there, there was like a dinner that Brandon Roy had that LaMarcus didn't get invited to that he was all upset about. And so then the media tells you that he's like whiny, and as, you know, a middle school kid, you're like, oh yeah, he's whiny.
Yeah, you get that ingrained in you as a kid.
My
yeah.
gossip friends are telling me that they're whiny, so he's whiny. And then you see the way he plays, and it's like, well, that's not how a big man should play. A big man should throw his body around and dunk every time they get the basketball. But, oh my goodness, as someone who was a little bit, you know, didn't want to be big, who just happened to be big, I loved his game. I loved that he wasn't afraid to take mid-range shots. I love that he wasn't afraid to take three-point shots, because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be the guy that made the big three-point shot. I wanted to be, you know, the guy who made the tough fadeaway type shot. It's guys like him and guys like Dirk that I think, for a lot of people my age, it's why those taller guys started wanting to shoot. And I think it's a little bold to say that's why there's a big change in the NBA, but I definitely he's a part of it, at least for the bigger
him,
players.
Dirk, yeah, no, Powell, yeah, no, those are the generational bigs who change the difference. And here's the thing: you're younger, so, and you grew up with that in the sense of like LaMarcus is weak and doesn't play in the post. What's funny is how much he beat the hell out of people. If you talk to guys that played against him, they'll all tell you the same thing: LaMarcus used to beat the hell out of me every single game. LaMarcus is listed on Basketball Reference as 6'11", 250. LaMarcus at his prime is 7 foot 275. I know he got even bigger than that at one point. He was closer to 290. He was huge in his last 2 years in Portland. And he beat the hell out of guys. Just beat the hell out of them over and over. Everyone's like, oh, all he does is turn and fade. All he does is turn and fade. Well, he added that left shoulder turn, baby hook, and then the spin back. And he had three moves that he would go to, and then it was move, counter move, counter move to move. And it's just the most exquisite footwork. And it just, after he left, it made me realize and appreciate him so much more. LaMarcus Aldridge, though, is hanging it up. And the question we have up on the poll on the Danny and Dusty Twitter page, at Danny and Dusty, and you can text us 503-864-6326. Two different questions. One, is LaMarcus Aldridge on the Trailblazers Mount Rushmore? Number two, is LaMarcus Aldridge a Hall of Famer? I will say this. For me, the answer is yes to both. Let us know what you think on Twitter, at Danny and Dusty, and again, on the text line, 503-864-6326. When we come back, we will touch on opening day, some trends, some news, some notes, all of the weird things, including the Angels continuing to angels harder than any Angel has ever angeled. This is Danny Brang here on Danny and Dusty.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
I lied. We're not doing baseball here. We're going to talk more LaMarcus Aldridge because I just started looking at some of the tweets and some of the stuff in between. And I think it's an interesting discussion when you talk about the career of one LaMarcus Aldridge. Somebody in the responses in the tweets said, in response to him, whether or not he's a Hall of Famer, If he has three or more All-NBA spots, like I think it's probably he's there. For those that are winning, LaMarcus is a five-time All-NBA player. Five.
That's pretty good.
Five-time. He is a, what, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven-time All-Star. Seven-time All-Star. Seven-time All-Star.
Hey, Danny, I forget. How many other All-Stars has Damian Lillard played with?
That's the list. LaMarcus Aldridge.
Oh, LaMarcus was the list? Yeah. But I thought CJ.
No.
I thought Nurk.
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
So LaMarcus was better than those two guys that we thought really highly of?
Uh-huh.
That's crazy.
Yeah. No, it's certainly interesting. I think LaMarcus's career, because of when he played and the era he played in and who he played against, his best years were overshadowed by big-time changes in the NBA. And those big-time changes came about as the Boston Celtics take hold, Kobe Bryant's Lakers take hold, LeBron James' Heat take hold, and the superstar era, the big threes. And LaMarcus just kind of gets pushed to the wayside. You have Dirk being disruptive in Miami or against Miami in Dallas. You've got Pau Gasol with the Lakers. You've got Chris Bosh. So you have this era of Hall of Fame caliber power forwards. Tim Duncan is still there, very much so. And yet LaMarcus is still making All-NBA teams. So he's getting the acknowledgement from players and media, both in All-Stars and all. Like, this isn't a guy who got handed an All-Star game and, like, won All-NBA. He's got seven All-Star games and five All-NBAs. And those five All-NBAs come in a time period, 2010-11, 2013-14, 2014-15, 2015-16, and 2017-18. Okay? You go look at those All-NBA teams, and it's terrifying. The guys that he's getting beaten by are the greatest players of all time at their positions. So this whole idea that LaMarcus Aldridge is this, I don't know, also-ran player? Let's take a look here. 2017-18, LaMarcus is second team All-NBA. First team All-NBA is Damian Lillard, LeBron James, James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Anthony Davis. Every one of those guys is a Hall of Famer in front of him. If you look at the second team, it's LaMarcus, Giannis, Joel Embiid, DeRozan, and Russell Westbrook. Every one of those guys is a Hall of Famer. The third team, this is where it gets a little dicier. Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, not dicey there. Paul George, Victor Oladipo, and Karl Anthony Towns. Obviously, the front court there is a little bit less. Not to besmirch Cat, but I'm going to besmirch Cat. But you go a step beyond that. Okay? LaMarcus Aldridge the year before. Right there. You go the year before that. Guess what? LaMarcus Aldridge, right there. In the mix again, over and over and over. The teams that year, this is the Lob City Clippers. Steph, Braun, DeAndre Jordan, Kawhi Leonard, Russell Westbrook. So you have four Hall of Famers and DeAndre Jordan. Second team, DeMarcus Cousins, who was maybe the best big in the league that year. Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Dame, Chris Paul. And then the third team, where it gets a little wonky, Clay, Kyle Lowry, Paul George, Andre Drummond, LaMarcus Aldridge. He is consistently in the group of the best 15 players in the NBA. If you are five times in 10 years, 11 years, one of the best 15 players in the NBA, how the hell are you not a Hall of Famer?
Especially in the NBA where everyone gets in?
Because it's the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yes. It's not like, if this was the MLB, it's a different conversation. Because LaMarcus is probably not a Hall of Famer if you look at MLB standards.
I would argue he is, but it's on year seven.
Yeah, so he's getting the Edgar Martinez treatment.
I would say, look, I would put him above Gar. Like if we're establishing like that legacy, I think he gets there.
But it takes a while.
But it takes a while.
But then when you look at the NBA, there are some years where it's like, really? That guy gets in? That guy got in because of 5 years. You know what I mean? Like, I'll have to go back through and look at some of them, but like one that sticks out to me is Allen Iverson. He was a great player for 5 years, and then he got hurt, and it all caught up to him. And now maybe I'm misremembering because I'm young, but...
Yes, you are.
And that's fair, because I know there was a point, and like I know the whole story of like the whole NBA is lucky that Allen Iverson isn't 6'5". I understand that.
Yes.
But Tracy McGrady's another one, where to me, I don't really remember them being that good for that long. They were very, very good, MVP-level type players. Mm-hmm. But their longevity wasn't there.
Shrink, yeah.
Yet they got to go in. So when you look at a player like LaMarcus, and I'd make the argument that a couple of the people that you put in there above him, mm-hmm. I would make the argument LaMarcus was a better damn player than Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh just ended up in Miami.
But I would say, the reason I put Chris Bosh in there is because Bosh and LaMarcus, statistically, stylistically,
similar.
With LaMarcus in Portland and Bosh in Toronto, mm-hmm. very very similar players.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not saying he's not a Hall of Fame type player.
But.
Exactly.
That's the era that he played in. And that you look at who was like Dirk, mm-hmm. Powell, Bosch, LaMarcus. I said Dirk already. Who am I forgetting?
Tim, maybe Duncan?
Tim, thank you. That is the era of quasi-bigs.
Yes. Those are the top five power forwards of that time.
That was the dissolution of the power forward center, like Mark, right?
Yes. And I'd make the argument he's better than a couple just by the eye test alone. And then I'd make...
Then he's right there with others.
And the ones that are, you know, Tim Duncan's probably the best power forward ever.
You don't even have to say probably. He's the best power forward.
You know, there's nothing you can do about that. Dirk Nowitzki played in Dallas.
One of the best scorers the league has ever seen.
Ever seen. So he gets to go ahead of him, mm-hmm. and he won a title. But after that, like...
Powell's better than Marcus.
See, and maybe I'm misremembering again because I'm
Powell's
young.
God.
He was awesome, and he's the reason that it led to LA winning those titles.
Yes.
But I still think if you put LaMarcus on those teams, do you see a dip? I would say you don't.
Yeah, I would be there with you then that they would be. If it was LaMarcus that went there instead of Powell, because remember, Powell was traded from the Grizzlies for Mark, mm-hmm. Gasol, his brother, in that huge, you know, landscape-changing deal. But yeah, had that deal been Marc Gasol going to Portland and LaMarcus going to Los Angeles, I don't think you would have seen much drop off. And it's you say all this in talking about the NBA, or not the NBA, but the Basketball Hall of Fame. The Basketball Hall of Fame class was revealed a couple days ago. And I'll just, for sake of what we're talking about right now, I will just talk about the men's players that are on the list. Pau Gasol, conveniently enough. Dirk Nowitzki, conveniently enough. Tony Parker, Dwayne Wade. Those are your men's players on the list.
Is he that much different?
I would argue he is a step down from Pau, two or three steps down from Dirk.
That's still...
But is LaMarcus one of the 50 best power forwards that's ever played the game?
Yes.
I would say yes.
100%. But then I would also make the argument here that that's one of the deeper classes in the Hall of Fame
that
I can remember. That's a loaded class. I'd like to go back through and look at some of the Hall of Famers and really take a deep dive into some of those classes, mm-hmm. where it's like, you're telling me LaMarcus doesn't get in on some of these?
No.
There's no chance.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up when it's all said and done. According to Basketball Reference, he has a coin toss chance. So they're
saying he's 50-50?
50.9%.
He should be 75.
Based on what it does is it takes total points, games played, total rebounds, assists, blocks, awards. It factors everything, right? If you do the same thing for Rasheed Wallace, scroll down here, Hall of Fame percentage. Rasheed Wallace's Hall of Fame percentage, what would you say it is?
Oh, he's higher because he won a title.
You sure about that?
Is he really? I would have thought a title would have put him a little bit 8.6%.
higher. 8.6%.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because that was going to be my whole next argument of, well, they just hated on LaMarcus because he was in Portland. Because that is a real thing.
Because this is the big difference. Guess how many All-Star games Rasheed Wallace made?
Oh, not more than two or three.
Four.
Really? Four?
Guess how many times he was All-League?
Once?
Nope.
Not ever?
Only All-Rookie.
They don't have a technical award All-League player?
Nope. I mean, he won that award a couple times.
Dominated.
But when we talk about the idea of... Because there's people in the comments that are flat out saying things along the lines of, Rasheed's ahead of LaMarcus. Rasheed's ahead of LaMarcus. LaMarcus is ahead of Rasheed in every category for the franchise. It's not particularly close. And I know that Rasheed's role was different than LaMarcus's, but like the context behind that, I think, because of LaMarcus's early years and how it ended and the disappointment of that era, I think people look at LaMarcus in a somewhat of an unflattering light, which is a shame because he has been one of the four best players this franchise has ever had. And hopefully when it's all said and done, I am not a man who is in favor of retiring numbers. I think the Blazers have far too many numbers in the rafters. Number 12 should be up in the rafters.
Yeah, 100%. I would like to say Maurice Stokes made it in, and so LaMarcus should make it in.
There you go.
That's all you got to say. Maurice Stokes and Robert Parrish. And I think LaMarcus beats them both.
See, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame is certainly different. Speaking of different, no matter how different things get, they still stay the same. Shohei Ohtani does Shohei Ohtani absolute insanity, and the Angels still suck. Then when we get back, we will have our worst day on the web, and we will touch on all of the weirdness that is opening day. In today's edition of Stupid Fans Being Stupid, we have a stupid fan being stupid.
You don't say.
Angel star Anthony Rendon grabbed an A's fan and nearly beat the hell out of him after he leaned into the dugout and said some choice words. I feel like there's a pattern here where fans feel like they can say and do whatever you want. Look, I am all for choice heckling, being creative. I will never forget when I decided at a game when I was younger, I was home on leave, and it got so quiet, because it's during the Jailblazer era, that I yelled out to a ref, can you please get off your knees? You're blowing the game.
Yeah, I've said that before.
I said it very loud. So loud, in fact, said referee turned around and looked at me.
Whoops!
And at that time, I didn't feel bad about it. I had quite a few people around me laughing and chuckling. As I've gotten older, I've been like, I probably wasn't great. But that's the worst thing I've probably ever said that could be heard. I've never called players trash. I don't do that. Like, it's like, you're a professional athlete. You're not trash. I've also never used profanity directed at a player. There's ways to talk trash. There's ways to heckle without crossing a line, like, you blew my bleeping parlay, you bleepity bleep. Like the
I don't do that.
No.
I want that very clear.
Uh-huh.
I might hate you irrationally, Yusuf Nurkic.
Uh-huh.
I will not attack you for that. That just seems lame.
No, it doesn't even seem. It is very lame. And there's just this continued, I don't know, essence of dumb that is bottled up and drank every single day. I think a lot of it, like, this is me. I am yelling at clouds right now. I am on my front porch in my best Clint Eastwood right now, just disgusted. There is this level of comfort that people have because they are so online that the things that they say on Twitter or on Reddit or on TikTok or in comments – that don't have their face to it, they think they can do it in reality.
Yes.
And again, the F around and find out chart, as much as we look at it and laugh, it's real with a lot of people in this world.
Oh, and it's something like, I wouldn't say I'm an angry person, but I do remember like going to high school games, playing in games where guys would say stuff, or you're running on the field and somebody says something. It's not going to be well received, especially in, like, to play a professional sport, you have to be in a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes fight or flight. And with a lot of those guys, it ain't frickin' flight.
No.
They
got there
in
because of the fight.
Because of the fight. Yeah. And they're ready to go. There's something to be said, though, too, about part of my generation. A lot of these guys, they're not your generation. They're the Zoomers. They're my people. I have to lead from the front. Unfortunately, I have to take control of the Zoomers. And now I have to release this message. You don't just get to talk trash to someone and then when they get mad, go, ha ha ha, you're triggered. You're triggered.
Yeah.
Like, if someone says that I'm an ass and I get mad about it, that makes sense. If I came up to you today and was like, hey, Danny, you're an ass, you're going to be mad at me for that. That, like, if it's unprompted.
I'm probably going to laugh, but different right? relationship. But yes, like, and if we didn't know each other.
If we don't know each other and I walk up to you on the street and I go, you're an ass,
I'm probably going to slap the hell out of you.
You're going to be really pissed off about it. But a lot of people in my generation are like, haha, that guy totally owned him.
Yeah.
That guy totally got him. And it's
and
just,
when he's on the ground bleeding from his ear 3 seconds later, it's like, did he?
Well, but then that's the other thing. Then people in my generation go like, oh, what an overreaction.
Yeah.
What an overreaction. And it's like, no, it's an overreaction, but it also, to a degree, is like, you deserved every piece of
that. You had
this
coming. And there's a video clip of this from Petros Papadakis. Petros on the Money Show has it on Twitter. And it is over the railing of the dugout, and it's Anthony Rondon walking by, and the guy clearly says something that gets Rondon's attention. And Anthony Rondon said, it says, you call me a bleep, huh? And the fan responds, no, no, no. It's always amazing how fast that backtrack comes. No, I didn't say that. Yeah, when he's got, because he's got the traditional, the Southern California grab.
Yep.
Where you grab the t-shirt, the like t-shirt jacket combo, and you twist it. Like, come on down here, boy. You're about to find out.
It's over. No, that's my favorite one of that is when, it's when, in the Malice in the Palace, and Ron Artest goes into the stands, and because he got the beer thrown at him, and the guy in front has his beer, and he's like, why are you running at me?
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't make any sense. No, look, I still have the
my
beer
My beer's
here.
Still here.
And it's like, yeah, he doesn't care. He got beer thrown on him, and he's going to fight, and it was in your direction, and you're the first person there.
Bull China shop.
Here it comes.
But it does... It definitely does look like it's one of those situations where guy said something and all of a sudden he got caught.
Yes.
And then Rondon responds and says, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did, you mother bleeper. And he finally lets him go, but he lets him go with the right hand and he comes back with the right hand swing over the top.
Just to let him know.
Like, and it's not like a little, it was one of those things where he definitely wanted to hit him. His conscience said, no, that's going to cost you $20 million. And he just pulls it back short.
Yep.
There have been no charges filed.
There shouldn't
be. The Oakland Police Department said it is not investigating the matter, explaining a statement. No victims reached out to Oakland Police Department regarding this instance. So at least this idiot fan was smart enough to go, nah, I'm good.
Let it go.
Let it go.
It's over.
I crossed a line here. As opposed to the fan in Orlando who is pressing charges against Brad Beal because he lost $1,300 in a parlay and figures he can get that and more out of Brad Beal, and he's probably right.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
Man, this legal system sucks.
It does sometimes. But again, I go to games, have fun, heckle, talk trash.
But do it in the right way.
There are ways like you can, and listen, you can be real creative, and not cross lines. Stop being stupid. All right, we will get to opening day reactions. There's so much that came out of opening day, again, including these Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Just, they Shohei'd their way through another stupid loss. This is Danny Murray here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Huh. Buddy.
Dessert.
You would think being arguably the best player in a sports history, or at least in the discussion for such, would lead to more positive outcomes than it does for Shohei Ohtani.
You hate to see it.
Arguably
poor
the best
guy.
Best hitter, arguably the best and most dominant pitcher in the game. And he's doing them both together. Yesterday, he goes out for the Angels. Do you know what pitch com is?
Yeah, he called his own.
Thing in his hat.
He called his own plays.
Well, yeah, he flipped it around. So instead of the catcher calling it for him, he was calling it for his catcher. One of his coaches says Shohei has so many actual pitches that if his catcher isn't on the same wavelength with him, you can't put down enough signals fast enough to get through the pitch clock. That's how good he is. This is a guy who has 6-7 pitches plus pitches that he can go to. Most starters have 3, sometimes 4. Closers, relievers, they have 2-3 pitches. This guy has 6 or 7 that he can pull out during a game, which is insane. He goes 6 innings, scoreless, 10 strikeouts. Angels lose 2-1. He left the game with a 1-0 lead on opening day. And here's a stat from opening day. Previously, there have been 25 instances where a pitcher has struck out 10 and allowed 0 runs. Do you know what their record was, Will Ortner?
Well, I would assume that there wouldn't be very many losses.
25-0. 25-0.
You just hate to see it. It's a tragedy.
It's becoming a meme. Shohei Ohtani has struck out 22, allowed 0 runs, and the Angels have lost 10-3.
It's an absolute tragedy. You know what? As someone who thought Shohei was going to end up with the Mariners, he was going to be the next great Japanese prospect.
Still could.
Well, you know, right now, he has to take his lumps because he knows what he did. He was supposed to be in Seattle. He was
You were the chosen one!
Think about how much fun he could be having right now with Eugenio and hanging out with Julio and Big...
Julio!
Imagine him hanging out with Big Dumper. I bet you he loves himself some Big Dumper. There's no way... Colton Wong is your second baseman. Viva la France. Mm. Like, you know how the Angels find ways to lose after he leaves? What do the Mariners do? They go out and find ways to win.
Mm.
And it's a shame. It's a darn shame that he went to a... interdivision rival, and he's feeling a little bit of pain. I feel so bad for him. My heart breaks.
Ohtani was in trouble once yesterday in the fourth inning. He had two on, one out. He then struck out back-to-back Jesus Aguilar and Ramon Laureano. And Mike Trout was interviewed after the game. He said, that sequence right there, he went from dominant to unhittable. The two best players in baseball play for one team.
And they
still suck.
Suck!
And it's just the most unfathomable thing I've ever seen. I cannot remember a sport. And the thing is, baseball is a team sport, but it's so individual. The Cardinals, again, I've been a Cardinals fan for my entire life. They never wasted a single year of Albert Pujols. Not one.
Always found a way to win.
Always. Multiple World Series titles. The Yankees. Did the Yankees in the last 25 years, have they once had the unquestioned best player in baseball?
No.
Let alone the top two?
No.
But yet, what have they done?
Yeah. I mean, with Derek Jeter, when they had one of the best players, they found a way to win. And with Aaron Judge, did they get a World Series with Judge?
No.
No, but they've been in contention every year.
And again, they find a way. That the Angels continue to just burn through these obscene... Mike Trout has went 4-for-5 with 3 home runs, 7 RBIs. Shohei Ohtani threw 6 1/3 of shutout innings with 10 strikeouts. The Angels lose 7-9. And you're just sitting there going, how the hell is this possible?
It's a tragedy. I just hate to see you know, I hate to see the AL West struggle. It really breaks my heart. If I could, every team in the AL West would be good.
I don't care. We will dive into some more opening day stuff because there was so much that came out of opening day, as well as the Blazers taking on the Kings tonight. And the NBA CBA deadline, it's just a matter of hours away. Will the NBA and the NBA Players Union come to an agreement, or will the extension be filed, or was the third option no extension filed and the NBA opts out of the current deal? All that and more coming up here on Danny and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.